From the streets of Toronto to the backwoods of Bancroft, here's your Moose Country Minute with Mark Bonikoski.
Almost the moment Snowmobile Safety Week ended, UPP put out a grim news that it had investigated 175 snowmobile deaths in the last 10 years. That's just about the time I got involved in the sport. Those deaths were for the usual reasons, of course. You likely know them all. Excessive speed, loss of control, driving too fast for the condition, and lastly, being as pissed as a newt. Booze, in fact, accounted for almost half of the deaths, which means at least 88 of the poor buggers were hammered when they met the end of their days. Such a shame, and so stupid, too. Some 88 snowmobilers would be alive today if they had simply put a plug in the jug. Another fact which hit home for me is the almost half of the snowmobilers who died were traveling on frozen lakes or rivers at the time of their accident. Again, the usual reasons were given: intentionally running open water or puddle jumping and breaking through the ice. I remember the days my snowmobile buddy Wally McCall led the charge up Mink Lake and Hastings Highlands, where open water was located in different spots depending on the weather. Making that run certainly tightened up the old Pfingster muscle, even though local knowledge gave us an advantage. But I won't lie and say we didn't skip over some of the short distances of water, because we did. But experience pays dividends. The OPP said, of course, that no ice is safe ice, and all riders should ensure that they wear proper safety equipment in addition to wearing appropriate outerwear for the environmental conditions. It would really be great if everyone could afford flotation-ready and insulated snowmobile jackets and pants, but they are way over my pay grade the last time I checked. And they were all made orange. And who wants an orange snowmobile suit and look like a version of a prison inmate on the run? But looking back, we survived, which is all very good indeed. For Outdoor Journal Radio, I'm Mark Bonikoski.
Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm Angelo Viola. He is Stephen Labadie. And Derek Brandale may be working solo today. I'm not sure because I don't have any other comments next to his name.
As far as I know, he's working solo.
I'm not working solo, though. My co-pilot, Brian Pollock from Dive Source.
I am your dive buddy.
You're my dive buddy, live and in person here in the studio. And normally this would be Brad Schlorff on the line with us from Texas, but we can't get a hold of him, so we're assuming he's
fishing. Snow in Texas, I read.
Really?
Yeah, I got a friend in Texas who was posting pictures of snow.
Not around the coast, though, I would imagine.
Well, I don't know what part. It's a big place. State. There's miles and miles of Texas.
So hopefully he's not snowed in regardless. We'll do the best. I want to talk to you about the business, the courses and all that stuff. First, I was going to just breeze over this, but I think it's worth noting because we're going to be talking about bears later on today. Mm-hmm. February 13th, a news release from the Ministry of Natural Resources and Forestry about a big bust in the wildlife trafficking sector of MNR. Huge bust. They levied $67,000 worth of fines and 5 years of suspension on licenses and hunting and all that stuff to a group from Ontario and Saskatchewan that were, for several years, they've been following this ring since July of 2017. And they got busted with trafficking bear parts. And we don't realize that, you know. We don't think of all of the underworld stuff that goes on in the outdoors, but there is a ton of it. And trafficking of fish is huge, but we don't even realize that.
We see the same thing with shark fin.
Diving industry. That's massive. Yeah, right? How's that going, by the way?
Canada's taken some steps on banning certain things, and I'm not 100% up on it, but it's supposed to be not as much around. I know if you go to certain shops, you'll still see jars of it on the shelf here and there.
So it's still legal technically?
I don't believe so. Believe so. At least in Canada, I believe they finally banned it, but I would have to get back to you.
All right. First thing I want to talk about, you know, as a fishing dude with a fishing show, talking about fishing all the time, people are constantly asking me what I do for vacationing. Do I go fishing? And the answer for me is no. I do not. Mm-hmm. I do that every day of my life. So when I vacation, I want to do something totally different. How about being in the scuba business?
I go diving.
I know that. That's why I asked you that.
It depends. So, if my wife's with me, we'll try and find somewhere that it's, you know, half and half, because my wife doesn't scuba dive. She likes to snorkel, though. So we'll go places where we can do a combination of both. And she loves to snorkel and, you know, nice on the surface.
I did not know that your wife doesn't. I think dive. That shouldn't come as a surprise, though. My wife doesn't fish.
Yeah, well, my wife has enough challenges in life being married to me.
That's what I was going to say. It's a handful for sure. So you go diving in your time off.
Yes. Yeah, I like to take the holiday and go down south and see the pretty fishies. And
you just came from a big
trip. Yeah, I was in, we talked about that. I was in Micronesia in a place called Chuuk, which is just 2 hours south of Guam as the crow flies.
Wow.
34 hours of flights to get there. But it was Truk Lagoon. It's the largest collection of diveable shipwrecks in the world, and lots of cool stuff to see.
So wow. How long were you there?
I was there. I dove 10 days.
10 days. Yeah. Is this a common diving destination?
No.
No.
it is a common I want to go there destination.
It's, one of those bucket
lists. Oh, absolutely. Deals. Absolutely.
What else is there on this planet that's a bucket list trip for divers?
Going to places like in Pacific wise, like Yap, places, you know, where you can see big things like manta rays and whale sharks and maybe some things you haven't seen before.
There's a place off of the west coast of Australia where I believe it is the biggest collection or population of what's that giant the biggest shark, a
basking shark. That's
apparently
another.
Off the west coast of Australia is Mecca for those things.
You could stand up inside a basking shark's mouth. So I
have you seen one?
I've seen pictures of them. Never seen one. They're massive though.
That'd be kind of cool.
Whale sharks are pretty cool too, you know. They're on my list of things to see.
Whale shark.
Yeah, whales, same family. They're really big. They're like 25, 30 feet long, too.
And plankton eaters?
Big, scoopers. Yeah, that's what they are.
It's fascinating. As you know, I love diving. I haven't done it for years, but, man, I have some fantastic memories. Here's an interesting story. I'm going to say 20 years ago, I did a dive shoot in the Yucatan.
Mm-hmm.
And we dove with a chap by the name of Professor Memo with the University of Mexico, and he's an archaeologist. And we were fortunate enough to be allowed to follow him and his team on this magical journey into the cenotes to find some treasures and bones and all that stuff. And anyways, make a long story short, we found it, what he was looking for, and we shot it, and we had this incredible diving experience beyond words. I was watching television the other night, a couple nights ago, documentary on Discovery, and they were talking about this latest find in the Yucatan Peninsula in a cenote. And they found a 10,000-year-old body, you know, mummified somehow. And who was leading the expedition? Professor Memo.
Mr. Memo.
Yeah, that was very
That's
cool.
That's crazy.
So it was like, boom, wow, I connected right away with the guy. It was very cool. But it's fascinating. The things that that you can discover, the things that you see, the things that you experience in that space, I'm talking about underwater while diving, are beyond words. And that's, you're so lucky that you work in that industry because you sell that. That's what you sell, man.
Yeah, that's what we sell. We have, in this time of year, we'll have our typical customer comes in is, I'm going on holiday. I want to get some decent mass fins and snorkel. And I say, we're your guy. And then we get talking about, have you ever tried diving? And then they're like, oh, I can't do it. I'm a little, you know, and I talk through how easy it is. So it's just a 3-step thing. You do a little online training. We get you in the pool, teach you the basics. And then you go and do 4 real dives. And Bob's your uncle. You're a certified diver.
Well, you make it sound very easy.
Well, of course. I'm a salesman.
Come on now. Call 1-800.
But hang on. You see a guy behind the glass there.
He's tried it.
Who would love to be a certified diver, who has said for the last, I don't know, 2 years or so, I have to do it. I got to do it. And yet he hasn't done it yet. You might want to ask him why. He just went to the Bahamas, by the way.
I think it's because he has no time during the day.
No, I wouldn't buy that.
Well, isn't the class at 9 o'clock to 10 on Saturday mornings?
Yeah, but I could also do you a private one.
Oh,
so
VIP.
VIP.
Oh,
very, a VIS, so, very important, Steve.
So what is keeping you from diving?
Just the fear sometimes. There's two things I want to do this year. I remember I do one crazy thing a year.
Right.
This year I want to skydive. We'll try.
That would be crazy.
And then the next thing is scuba diving. Okay, so
that's
it's
not
like,
crazy.
I know something else that you could try that would be really crazy and adventurous and dangerous. Asking the Countess for another 2 weeks off in the month of February.
I'll do that, sure.
That might be your biggest adventure yet. But no, and it is. You know, people think that they're ready to take on the challenge, and then that last minute, for whatever reason, they're afraid of it, and well, nothing could be more. I mean, it's just there's nothing difficult about learning to dive.
Our bigger challenge isn't people being worried about doing it. It seems to be people budgeting time to put these things in their life.
So give us a sense of what's the total time that they need to commit to get certified?
We got a course coming up in a couple of weeks, and the schedule is as follows. Tuesday night, you show up, do a little bit of, after you do your online stuff, Tuesday night, we have a couple hours of classroom.
Online stuff.
Instead of a lot of lecture and books and video, you do an online program. So okay. It's about 10 hours whenever you want, here, there, everywhere, half okay. hour here, half hour there, and it replaces, it's online learning. Okay. So that gets you your theory. So Tuesday night, we do a couple hours classroom, introduce everybody, do some equipment assembly, show you how it all puts together. Wednesday night, we do our first pool session, couple hours in the pool, you know, first little introduction. Saturday morning, we typically finish up the classroom Saturday morning, do a little quiz. Saturday afternoon, we're in the pool. And then Sunday afternoon, we're back in the pool again.
Tuesday night, Wednesday night.
Saturday, Sunday.
That's it.
And then at that point, you're ready to actually go diving and get your license. Because it's like if you take how to drive a car, you still have to do that final test. So
right. We
take you for a weekend of diving. Now, right now, it's a little burr. And like our last class, I had four people who took referral packages. And what they do is they take the paperwork saying they've done everything with them. And I had two people going to Barbados, two people going to Curacao. And they took this with them. And they're finishing their dives there.
That's how I got certified. Yeah, yeah. I went to Green Turtle Key. I'll never forget it. Yes. Brendel Stevens.
That's it.
Dive master extraordinaire on Green
Brendel
Turtle.
Once.
Did you? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I got certified by Brendel. Yeah.
It was, so you can do great. That, or if you want to wait till the spring, you can come out diving with us, and we do some local dives, and then we give everybody dive club membership, and we have things going on all summer.
Sounds fantastic.
It is.
What's the total cash layout for this?
Course, $499.
$499. So $500.
Yep.
And that's it.
We don't budget we don't bill them for the open water dives to start because some people do them down south, but it's $125 to finish your open water. It's basically renting the gear for the weekend.
Now, be honest with me.
Yeah.
You don't have to fudge the numbers here. Just
I
between
won't.
Us girls, okay? What's the percentage of folks that come to the initial course and don't complete it?
Ooh.
5%.
So 5% for whatever reason.
And it might even be lower. I mean, there's a couple people every year. Maybe 2% if I do the numbers.
Yeah.
Typically, if they're at the point, they're going to get there. They've already kind of got there.
And the benefits of doing that, spending that $499 and committing to those two nights and a couple of weekend days, the benefits of that are insurmountable when you really think about it. First of all, you have it for the rest of your life.
There's not many things that you get that it's like, here, I've got this forever. It's like getting your driver's license.
Right. Well, no, you don't have to renew it. You don't have to get license plates.
No,
you don't have
true.
To get nothing.
Yeah.
You get this license, you put it in your pocket, and you now are a certified diver forever. the benefits of that, of course, like Stephen just vacationed down in the Bahamas, wherever you go on this planet vacationing, yep, there is a dive experience waiting for you.
There is. There is.
Right there. One day of your vacation, diving.
And I just had a gentleman who was saying, oh, I'm going away and my wife doesn't like it if I go diving. And I said, most of these resorts have morning dives. And you go and do your thing and you come back, wife's woke up or husband's woke up, yeah, and then you go do the rest of your day.
Let me ask you that question. What's the gender breakdown, men versus women?
It's getting about 50-50 now. Okay. Which is awesome. I love female students. They're my favorite because they actually read the materials and listen to directions.
Don't come to the class hungover.
So women are awesome divers.
I had a diving, you talk about hungover. I had a diving instructor in Cypress, Florida, one time who was working with me. We were doing a manatee episode. So it involved some serious cave diving, like serious cave diving. Anyways, so this guy, a great guy, I can't remember his name, unfortunately, but great guy. And so, you know, we worked with him for a couple of days, and then we're sitting around having a beer one night after it was all done. And he says, man, I'm feeling a whole lot better now. I said, what do you mean? Ooh, I was rough for a couple of days there when we were doing the shoot. You're rough. Were you not feeling well? Oh, he said, I was hung over like a dog. He said, so I could ask him, I said, like, do you do that very often? He says, yeah, he says, unfortunately. You know, I and so he proceeded to tell me, and this is going to gross people out listening, but I don't care. Oh. This is a kumbaya episode.
I want to ensure all our listeners that our staff is not hungover every day. But
we are.
He says that you could throw up in a. And the reason I bring this up is because that is a concern that a lot of people might have. Because keep in mind, the most important part of the whole diving concept is that you are breathing. Life is being sucked through a regulator.
Yeah. With a tank behind you.
Mentally, that is difficult for some people. But anyways, this guy proceeded to tell me that a regulator will actually pass vomit.
It's a one-way valve, so if it's not too chunky, it'll get out, to lack of a better word.
He said many a time he just let her go.
No, we take keep your regulator in your mouth, because the tendency if you throw up is after you do it, you go,
right.
Well, if the regulator's out of your mouth,
you're in big trouble.
Not good. Yeah, you're breathing in water.
You've done cave diving.
I was going to say, I haven't done the other one. I haven't thrown up.
You've done some cave diving?
Yeah, I've dove some pretty awesome caves.
That's great.
Mexico, I've been down to Florida, and a couple years ago I was in Abaco. It was wicked.
To me, that's the most exciting part of diving. But anyways, that's me. We got to move on here. We have a whole bevy of kumbaya guests to get to. More journal after this, don't you dare go away.